Hello and welcome to the Transfers Podcast as we take an in-depth look at the Royal League of Scottish Football. We're back with the usual format. James and Mars, how are you both?
I'm good.
Yeah, good, thanks. I'll say the same as I've said in the other two, that I'm looking forward to talking about the action because it's thick and fast across the leagues.
It is, to be fair, and there's a lot to get our teeth in the Championship. So back to usual format, three episodes, one per division, bite-sized chunks for your listening. This is a Championship edition. Before we get into it, if you're on YouTube, if you could like the video and subscribe to the channel, that'll make us feel better about ourselves. If you're listening on Spotify or whatever, then fair play, just log into YouTube when you get a chance and like the video. As always, any comments or feedback, let us know in the comments section on YouTube or Twitter at Turnstiles There. So like I said, Championship edition. Maz, there's maybe two places we could have started. I'm going to go in alphabetical order. Arbroath 4, Hamilton Academical 0.
Yes, I'm pretty sure I predicted an Arbroath victory, possibly either of yourselves as well. I didn't quite think it'd be that convincing, but when you see that Hamilton team, you think, what's going on there? Because there's a lot of good players there, a lot of experienced players still. You know, Mullen, Spence.
McDonald was arguably the best left back in the league last year.
Yeah, Andy Ryan, Easton. So
Hamilton, albeit with his red, but a good player. Luke Matheson on loan from the Goats as well. So
yeah, the young players they have are good, like Mimna as well. They're good quality young players as Hamilton often always have. So I don't know what the problem is. But Arbroath, on the other hand, I think Joe Newbley's been a bit of a revelation there. And I think, like, obviously their style of play, and you kind of know what you're going to get there at the moment.
Just when you think they couldn't replace Jack Hamilton, the Martindale Campbell combination pulls it an absolute. Somebody's arguably having a bigger impact because he's not just scoring, he's setting up a lot, isn't he?
Yeah, they'll need to start planning for him leaving now for January. They'll need to be identifying who can we get in January.
Dick Campbell will be saying, well, if you're taking him back, does that mean Jack Hamilton's going further down the pecking order?
I
wonder if he'll... We'll even see January in an Arbroath shirt because there might be a clause.
I think it's January at the earliest. But it'll be 1 minute past midnight. David Martindale will be outside his house, I think.
We were talking in the League One episode about East Fife, you know, relying on a talisman striker and having kept the rest of the core of their team for the last few seasons, and it's gone against East Fife because while they've kept a lot of the core of their team, they've gone a bit stale and they've lost Agnew, a talisman in midfield, and a focal point up front in Hamilton or Dowds, whoever. But Arbroath have managed to keep. I think they've lost the talisman in a way, in the fact that Bobby Lynn is just, you know, another year older, and while he can still have an impact off the bench, he's maybe not as prominent a player as he was certainly in League One and you know, in the last couple of years. But you look through the rest of their team, and there's a lot of mainstays there, and the style's not changed. He's just been very, very shrewd in the transfer market with getting strikers in, when it was Hamilton last season, and now obviously Newbley, and him and David Martindale just must be like have this hobby of collecting giants and swapping them.
And see, talking to talisman, that's an interesting point. I actually saw on Twitter today, there was a couple of Hamilton fans, I think, like they signed their talisman in Templeton, didn't they? But his injuries have just killed him the last 18 months.
Yeah,
because he's a cut above when he's fit.
Yeah, definitely.
And you saw it, was it Vafe came on it when they were 4-0 down and they've drawn 4 each? I think he put 2 in a play, didn't he?
Yeah, he was the driving force behind that comeback, definitely. Andy Ryan, you know, you would still expect to be able to line there, although he's a different kind of player. He's more of a sort of penalty box player. But yeah, definitely, they're obviously lacking maybe a system.
Taylor's early doors, isn't he, James? He's obviously trying to find out what's happening, and you'd imagine there'll be changes because he had four defenders on the bench, Popescu on the bench, Ben Stirling, Sean Want and Stanger. So four defenders on the bench. You'd imagine at least one of them will need to come in with Jamie Hamilton being sent off. But he's maybe just.
I think Hamilton's probably the better player, the best defender you've got in terms of being a prospect and in terms of not consistency, but probably attribute, like raw attribute wise, based for me largely on, I think I've seen a couple of times, but having heard of him and having known that he's gone down south and trained and things. I'm not 100% that Easton's the next best, but I'm also not convinced that Popescu's been a great signing to be next best. So as for me, it's almost Hamilton plus one, but Hamilton's also not consistent enough and not erratic enough to not get himself sent off, which was a lot of negatives there. But basically, he's erratic and you kind of rely on him to see you through a game and not do anything stupid or say anything stupid or wind up someone stupidly. Like he's not going to be every, you know, your Connor Goldson that plays 81 games in a row. That he's not got that in him for his temperament more than anything. But what I will say on that as well is you're saying it's early days for Taylor. By all accounts, looking at the way the game was going, whether Hamilton was on the pitch or not, that was going to be four. That 3-4, it could and should have been probably beyond that. I wasn't at a game. I was listening to the scores coming in, and any time it cut to Arbroath, there's a chance of a goal going in. Like it was very one-sided, and it was inevitable that there was going to be that many goals. So complete capitulation from a better Hamilton, or a Hamilton team that should be better. Based on the players that you boys have said, there's no point in rehashing them, but that's a strong 11 that's been out. There's no way that 11 should have been beaten 4-0, but it has been. So for me, something is rotten and a mess at Hamilton.
And talking of under pressure, Muzz, moving down the alphabetical order list, Peter Grant.
Aye, yeah. James touted this one as a real kind of highlight of the fixture list for kind of the wrong reasons, because both were going into the game with, well, one without a full-time manager and one already on the ropes in the very early stages of his career at Dunfermline. And we kind of predicted it was going to go one of two ways. It can be a real stale, turgid affair where both are too afraid to lose and a sticky one, or they both go for it and have a bit of a set to a bit of a ding dong, and Ayr have obviously come out on top quite comfortably, and I think Jim Duffy can be the man to
good one
for that,
because professional win last night, wasn't it, as well, against albeit Rangers B, but you can only be what's in front of you, so another solid win for him, wasn't it? 3-0.
Yeah, and you mentioned that as a potential banana skin for them as well, and a solid, you know, good team, good obviously the B team of the champions. So obviously it's they're still up against good players. It's still a test. So I mean honestly, you're looking at if he gets a win at Hamilton, you're looking at a contender for the job.
Our manager of the month.
For someone who's come out and said he doesn't want to be a manager again though, or another as involved, he was enjoying being assistant. Is it too tempting for him not to do it though?
I think he'd take
when
it.
He's got a good little, that good feeling just now. Team's doing all right. Does he sign now?
And then think regret it
in a couple
it.
Of months when he's potentially toiling and doesn't want to be a manager anymore?
I think he takes it all day. And talking of managers of the month, Muzz, I spoke to you pre recording, didn't I, Billy Dodd? Cigars out. 5-1 from 5.
Yeah, I mean, again, going back to last week's episode, myself and James predicted that would be like, well, I can't remember what James went for, but I went for an Inverness win. But I think Partick, I think they're going to be a bit inconsistent this season. Mm-hmm. I think we both
went for like a 2-1, so they've exceeded my expectations, because we were both saying it, I think it would be a tight 2-1 or 1-0. I think we're both didn't think Inverness had three in them.
Came back from 1-0, one down at half time as well.
Yeah, exactly. When I saw that, and that tells a massive story.
Yeah.
That after all those 1-0 wins, it's not as if they're just grinding these wins out. It's like when they had to like, you know, wise up a wee bit and go for it, that they're capable of digging deep and doing that.
I think James is right. I think we're expecting Partick to be inconsistent, having just come up, good squad, but I think McCall's still trying to find his his preferred back four, especially, you know, whole relative new signing as well in that back four. So I'll just take them a wee bit of time, but no concerns from any of us, I think, about Partick being involved in the relegation battle whatsoever.
I would be quite intrigued to see from, I don't know if you have been or if anyone who has been, that Tiffany seems to have been lined up and everything I've seen as a wide player.
I think they're playing him and Smith.
The side of Smith, the side Graham. To Graham. But for someone who got goals as a forward, has he been, is he playing as a winger or is he playing wider but up front? Like if he's going to be in about the goals as he has been previously and he's playing wider, you know better to play him where he's going to have better access to.
Well, he scored on Saturday.
Yeah, but is he going to be more consistent if he's playing through the middle? Or are they just trying to shoehorn as many goal scorers in as possible? And what basically, is he going to get as many goals if he is playing out wide when he's someone who is consistently scoring through the middle?
That's a valid point, actually. So any Partick fans or Inverness fans from weekend, let us know. James, I think you said last week, Kelly will just win against Morton. It'll just be fine. You know, 3 points, solid. We'll take it up the road, and that was the case.
I don't know if that shows that you're winning or winning. I don't know if that shows that you were listening or if you can just guess the sort of thing I would say, because that sounds very much like a comment from me. But it's good.
They left it late, but a solid 1-0.
Yeah, and I think part of that is I don't know if I had much to rely on apart from the in my head. Morton seemed still a little bit groping a bit all over the shop. They don't seem to have been consistent, Morton, in anything they've done. In my head, anyway, for the last
they're looking all right now,
8-9 months. I mean, they're doing okay. They're not terrible. They were always, you know, we spoke about them last season that they're a bit hard to beat sometimes. But
I think they're
just seem to be a wee bit adrift, a wee bit inconsistent, and not.
I think
I don't know. It seems like it's not settled in Greenock.
I think he's now getting settled with the signings he's made. He's a 4-4-2 man, Gus McPherson. We know that. Like, wherever he's went, that's been his preferred. He's got Muirhead and Gavin Riley as his front two, which has got a bit of everything. Decent height from Muirhead. Riley will offer you a bit of pace, wee bit behind. Signed a winger from Newcastle, Allen and Oliver playing wide. He's got Blues and Ox signing. Another loan signing centrally. And then he's got his back four, Lithgow, McLean, etc. So he's starting Muzz to stamp his authority on it, I think, Gus McPherson. Now, maybe what we mounted to go back into last season, so maybe about 8-10 months into the job, this is him starting to get his own system, players.
Yeah, he did well with them last season. I think when he went in, they were preparing for going to have to be dragged into the playoffs, and he got the job done, to be fair to him. And he was playing a 4-3-3 at that point.
And that's maybe just using the tools he had then.
Yeah, possibly. And it seemed he messed around with the formation a wee bit when he came in, as a new manager would. But he settled on this 4-3-3 and it was quite successful for him. But if he's gone back to 4-4-2, you know, that's obviously, like you say, that's probably traditionally what he's been wanting to implement, and that's maybe been his target long term. But I think like it's quite hard to judge them unfairly, because I think I agree with you that they've done all right, but I mean they have taken 3 defeats in a row there. So albeit, you know, away to Killy, who are probably still favourites for the league, on paper and stuff like that. So it's no great shame, and I think like they're not going to get tankings that often. But they do need to do something up the other end as well. You know, they're pretty down the bottom.
Riley and Muirhead will be decent
in terms of shots and. Shots and target and goals and things like that. I think Muirhead likes a Muirhead. I don't know. I think he's hot and cold. I think when it goes for him, it goes for him. And when he gets himself in those goal scoring positions, he can make the difference. Mm-hmm. But I think he's a bit inconsistent. And I think Morton as an outfit altogether are still a bit inconsistent. But he's been quite shrewd with it, with the signings, getting in Lithgow for the experience, Gavin Riley, who scores goals when he gets a run together. So it's difficult to predict. I just don't see them. I see them being just a bottom six team,
And the
only frustration, just to pick up where Mo sort of left off with Riley, is he needs to feel settled, I think. He needs to be somewhere where he can get a consistent run. And it was almost like that was going to be him when he went to Livy to get that run. And then I think he's picked up an injury and there's been a couple of other...
20 centimetre tear in his hamstring.
Yeah, so other boys have come in and it's sort of like, well, there we go. There's my consistency gone because he's been jumping about and they need to get that, the St Mirren, Riley, of 3-4 years ago. And since he's been there, he's sort of been all over the place. And is it just till January at Morton? If Newbley does come back, will he then just stay at Morton and go on forever there? And will that be his new home? So if he can stay at Morton and stay fit and stay appreciative and, like Muzz is saying, score a lot of goals, then I think he'll help with that consistency. But what an inconsistent team don't need is a Gavin Riley who's been inconsistent because he's been placed in inconsistent places and then he's going to disappear in 6 months' time as well. So for a team that is inconsistent, they need... He's someone that they need to be consistent.
Muzz, the team...
Try and say that more consistently.
Muzz, the team that was consistent...
You're right, though.
The team that was consistent with Appalachia Uri last season, Rafe, struggling a wee bit.
Yeah, I think there's one thing they're lacking. loss, win, loss, draw. They're like, aye, they've come out the blocks. Cliche, bubble burst a wee bit, maybe.
Lewis Vaughan, but I think you said it last week, didn't you? That's a lot of big loss. Psychologically as well as for the team, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And I think like McDonald's been a loss. I don't think Liam Dick's got the same attacking drive. Yeah, debatable, but statistically so far anyway, he's not proved as quite as much of an asset.
You wonder if Tate's head's still in it after the move to Hibs.
You'd like
it
to
looks,
think.
It looks like Rafe insisted on that rather than him asking for it, so you wonder. But he wants to give himself the best chance of getting it in that Hibs team, and the best way to do that is to play well between now and January.
Exactly. He's certainly mature he looks mature as a player, as in, like, when you see him on the ball, he belies his young age a wee bit, so hopefully his head's in the same place, and he's wise enough to know that, you know, Hibs aren't gonna settle for him just going back there and sort of fanning around. He's got to do the job. They've made quite a few changes to their squad, Wraith. They brought a bit. It's good players they brought in. You know, Platnick from Livingston and Keating.
Fotheringham,
yep. So, but I think like Queen of the South are also. Again, they're quite inconsistent. They can turn up on their day. Aye, they're kind of like similar to like in League One to Peterhead, sort of on their day. They can take anyone, and it's no great surprise. And Cochrane's now embedded in that starting lineup.
Signed Fitzpatrick again, didn't they? On a 1 year contract, it's a great signing for them. I think obviously their last season got rules by Norwich, so he's back as well. So.
Yeah, and I feel like I'm a broken record when I talk about them. But this is what they did last season. They were slow off the mark with their recruitment, but they dripped in these players over the course of the start of the sort of first half of the year, and they ended up with a really good outfit. And you know, they're sitting there fifth with 6 points, slap bang in the middle of the table. And for me, the balance could tip either way for them so far, but. I mean, to go to Wraith and win, great result.
Let's see what you think then, which way they're going to go. So let's get your predictions for the weekend. Queen of the South, we'll start with them since you've just put them in. Host Arbroath.
Oh, tricky. This is it. This is what I'm talking. They're probably the hardest team to predict. Both Arbroath can turn up one week and then they can get caught out, but I mean, I think given that's our both 3 in the bounce, 4 unbeaten, so I may be looking at an our both away win there.
Jeez, fair play. I'm going to go for a draw. Sitting on the fence this week. Partick Kelly, Muzz.
I'm just scanning them. These are all tough. Draw.
I'm going Kelly. I think well organised. They've got Robinson back. Started the last few games. Polworth looks like he's kicking on, to be fair. Ollie Shaw, again, another game I just built at the weekend there. I think Kelly will maybe have a wee bit too much for him. There'll be goals, but I fancy Kelly to edge it. Hamilton, Ayr.
I wonder if Ayr are going to take that bounce with them to Hamilton. Hamilton a bit all over the shot. I think Ayr will make it difficult, make it stuffy for them. Arbroath did the same and Hamilton didn't like it. Sorry to take all this time, but I'm going to say an Ayr win.
I'm going to go Hamilton. I think another week with Taylor will help them a lot. I see the players have got, they will kick on. I think Ayr have maybe had their wee mini bounce and they'll revert to type. Morton Rafe?
Draw.
I'm going draw as well. And Dunfermline Inverness?
Inverness.
Same. Right, James, starting for the top. Dunfermline Inverness?
Inverness for me. I think it's, it goes without saying that one.
Morton Rafe?
Bandwagon continues. Of all the games, I'm not as convinced as Muzz that they're as hard to call. I think this is probably the tighter one, so I'm going to give a draw to that one. I think they're both can do well, but they can both have shockers, so I think draw is going to be...
Well, of averages. Hamilton, yeah?
I'm going to go Ayr. When I said it wasn't as hard to call, I'm concerned for Ayr's goal scorers, saying that after they've bagged six across the last two games, but I think the Hamilton defence with Easton and another one, presumably Popescu, is not going to be cut up to what they need, and I think Hamilton are not at it at this point, so here for me.
Arthur, Kelly?
Kelly, again, if you're being an honest, neutral Partick fan and weren't invested, I think they'll come away not disappointed with their performance. I think it will be similar to what I said when it was Inverness-Partick. I think it'll be a tight one. I think Partick will score. Objectively, you've got to be relatively happy with your performance, because if you can do it against Inverness, you can do it against Kelly, you can basically do it against anyone. So, objectively, the Partick fans will be happy, but I think they'll lose anyway, so Kelly.
And Queen of South Arbroath?
Arbroath, for me, again, I think we've highlighted the good players across our Arbroath team. Newbley being one of them. Always interested when McKenna pops up, really being plucked from the juniors to then step into the championship and sort of dot around from there. He seems to be doing quite well, so I'm always quite happy when his name fires across my little screen. Arbroath.
Fair enough. Muzz, one quick question. End on, if Inverness win, as the favourites predict, is Peter Grant there, Monday morning?
Don't know. The club have been quiet on it.
I think he still is, you know. I think we give him time, to be honest, because Crawford went through a couple of sticky bits.
Yeah, and they recognise that Inverness are top of league form team, so yeah, he might get a free hit there, maybe.
I'm going to say end of September is where his jotters could be getting wrapped up in a little brown envelope, because he's got Inverness is a tough one, Hamilton could be your next difficult one. It's Raith Rovers after that, the next three games are.
Yeah, that's a derby as well, isn't it?
Yeah, what, four to 6 points in that. Out of potential 12.
There you go then.
9 points. Sorry, that's maths.
That's our predictions. So as always, thanks very much for joining. Like I said, any questions or comments, get in touch in the comment section or on Twitter at @turnstilesthe. We'll be back next week to see our predictions do. We'll see you then. Take care. Cheers.
Bye.
Cheers.